This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. Our nation's capital has a complicated reputation. For some people, it is first and foremost a place of inspiration.
Freedom, history, pride.
It shows everybody kind of almost our history and our journey from where we started out.
It's a place that every American should come see at least once in their lifetime.
Those were responses from some folks we caught up with in front of one of the most inspiring spots in D.C., the Lincoln Memorial. But when we asked people what they thought of the U.S. Capitol at the other end of the National Mall, we got decidedly different answers.
Stagnation. Disappointment. You want one word or only the ones you can say on the radio?
Bureaucrats.
Is in bad shape right now.
And that is the Washington New York Times Magazine correspondent Mark Leibovich writes about in his new book. It's called This Town, Two Parties and a Funeral, Plus Plenty of Valet Parking in America's Gilded Capital. It's more than 300 pages of inside the Beltway dirt dishing. But Leibovich says at its core, this is a brutally honest reflection of Washington culture.
I think what people don't have a full appreciation of is just the full carnival that Washington has become. The way in which the city has been completely revolutionized by money, by new media, by the celebrity madness that sort of engulfed the rest of the culture. And really, this has become really a gold rush in the nation's capital at a time when the rest of the country has really been struggling economically. And I think that that's a part of the disconnect that I wanted to bring to bear here.
It begins at the funeral for the much-beloved host of Meet the Press, Tim Russert.
Right.
Which is kind of an odd place to start at this memorial service, but it was significant for you in what you were trying to illuminate. Describe the scene.
Tim Russert, this giant in Washington, I call him the mayor of official Washington. He dies in the prime of his life. And there was a state funeral-like scene where all of the brand names, all of the tribes convened. You had the Democrats, the Republicans, the Clintons, the newscasters, Barbara Walters. I mean, everyone was there. And I remember sitting there and I was struck by how this memorial service for a beloved newsman could so quickly degenerate into a networking opportunity. People were throwing business cards around. People were trying to get booked on various shows. Hmm. The funeral is cocktail party.
You were at that funeral. Hmm. I mean, you don't hide the fact that you are part of this club that
right.
you write about when we talk about the pundits, politicians, journalists who make
right.
up this elite group. You don't claim to be an outsider. You think that it's still okay to write this, that people should pay attention to what you have to say.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I think to pretend I was an outsider or I am an outsider would just be dishonest. I mean, I am part of this world. Maybe I'm part of this problem. But I also think that when you live here, you do see things that others don't, obviously. And there has been some pushback towards me because no one likes to have the secret handshake revealed. But I thought that Washington had reached a tipping point of self-celebration, of self-perpetuation at a time when the rest of the country didn't fully understand this.
So let's dig into the book a little bit. There's a lot of gossipy stuff that's getting a lot of buzz and headlines that people who follow the personality of politics will find interesting, probably, maybe. But there are also some longer profiles of individuals and characters who you see as representing something fundamental about how this place, mm-hmm. this town works.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about Kurt Bardella? Not a name most people would recognize.
Right. I mean, Kurt Bardella is the press secretary, the former press secretary to Congressman Daryl Issa. He was someone who watched West Wing as a kid and became enthralled with the idea of Washington as this thrilling screen game. And he said, look, I'm not so much as a D or an R. I'm an O. I'm an opportunist. And essentially, he wanted a ticket to Washington because this game was so thrilling to him. And Kurt was very good at his job. He got Daryl Issa a great deal of press, and I started following him around. And he was rather blunt about his own ambitions. He really flouted the ethic in Washington that you're supposed to cloak your own ambitions in nonchalance.
But you're even smiling now. There's something about that that you find endearing.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I have a bias towards transparency. I mean, Washington is a city of poses and posturing, and very few people are willing to talk about how ambitious they are, to show their demons as nakedly as Kurt did. I mean, I think some of the characters that come off best, according to some readers, people like Harry Reid and Tom Coburn, who are two senators from completely different sides of the spectrum and who can't stand each other. But there's a transparency about them, and there was a transparency about Kurt that I was very, very enamored of, because it's just much more out front.
It's not your business to proffer up solutions. Inevitably, I would imagine that in writing this and researching, you had to have given it a little bit of thought when you're articulating the layers and layers of these challenges.
I think you never can underestimate the power of shame over a long period of time. You also can't underestimate the power of the American electorate. It doesn't move as fast as you'd think, but there is a period of foment going on now. I mean, you've had three or four change elections. I'm making quotes with my fingers.
The air quotes, yeah.
The air quotes, right. Meaning that, you know, you have the Democrats sweeping out the Republicans in 2006, and then you have Obama coming in 2008, and then you have the Tea Party coming in 2010. I mean, there is definitely a great impatience with business as it's done in Washington. And I think politicians will do things when it serves their interests. I mean, you know, the populace does have an ability to shape change, to sort of shape Washington. And I think, you know, again, that system's not going to go away. But no, I mean, I guess I'm hedging on the grand solutions, because it's just not, first of all, I'm not that smart. but again, I mean, I'm just sort of trying to tell a story.
The book is called This Town, Two Parties and a Funeral, Plus Plenty of Valet Parking in America's Gilded Capital. Mark Leibovich joined us in our studios in Washington, D.C. Mark, thanks so much.
Thanks, Rachel.